This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
As we move into the final hour here, WEEI Afternoons, I'm Christian Arkin. Nice to have you with us here today. It's a beautiful day here in Boston as we have the last series of the Red Sox of the entire season coming up here, and it's going to be a series they will play without Kenley Jansen. Kenley Jansen has gone home. Did you see this? Rob Bradford reported about 40 minutes ago or so that Kenley Jansen decided to cut out early and head back home. I don't know where home is for Kenley Jansen, but it's not here, as he is not with the team, and I know he's probably not going to re-sign with the team either, but interesting. Interesting to just sort of bail, you know? Like, it's not like he's banged up. It's not like he's injured. And he's just sort of saying, hey, I'm all set with this. I'm going home. I'm leaving. Goodbye. And I don't know. It rubs me the wrong way a little bit. I like Kenley Jansen. He was good while he was here. But I don't love that he just up and left like that. It's kind of lame.
Okay, so there's no reports of, like, a family situation, correct?
I haven't seen one, no.
Because barring a family situation, a personal situation, I find this unacceptable. I think it's more than rubs me the wrong way. It doesn't pass any sniff test. Is he or is he not a member of the 2024 Boston Red Sox? And I believe the 2024 Boston Red Sox still have games that are being played, correct? Will you just leave? Go home? Like, and this isn't, you know, we had the NIL thing with the Sluka kid the other day. Like,
right.
Did they not pay him? Is this one of those, like, Arena League things? Did his latest check not clear? Okay, fine. But unless there's some sort of circumstance, is he just quitting on the team?
Nah, I'm good. I don't really want to show up this weekend.
Like, seriously.
We don't know that, and so I'm not going to – that's why I said it sort of does, because I don't know. There may be something going on here, but all we've got from reporting, Christopher Smith said, Kenley Jansen has gone home. According to Alex Cora, they had a conversation.
That's it?
I don't know what that conversation entailed, but there was a conversation, and he went home. And the conversation was, hey, Skip. Well, don't call him Skip, but hey, Alex, I'm going home. See you later. It's been great. It's been real.
So,
love
Kenley,
you,
why are your suitcases packed?
Yeah, hey, Kenley, what's going on? Oh, yeah, I'm going home. I'm just leaving.
This feels like it stinks. This feels like it does absolutely not pass a sniff test, because Alex Cora is usually pretty forthcoming. You know, he could even say something like, he's got a family situation and we don't want to get into it. I would hope everybody would just respect his privacy if it's something like that. Right? For him to just, he's gone home, we had a conversation. It sounds to me like Kenley Jansen might be one of those guys Alex Cora won't miss when this season ends. That answer he had the other day when he laughed, oh, there's some guys I'll miss.
Right.
Not sure Kenley Jansen's going to be one of them if he's the kind of guy that quits on his team. That's horrible. Again, I'm leaving the door open. I will take it all back if I find out there's a family situation, whatever. But the information we have right now, this is a really bad look. This is a really bad thing for him.
Yeah, agreed. I don't think it's going to hurt his, you know, market value or anything like that. Some team will pick him up if he wants to play again next year. But yeah,
sure.
I don't love that, or love the way it looks, certainly. And yeah, as other people have pointed out, I'm sure everybody wants to go home. You know, like, the season's over. These games don't matter. It's nice to be there with the team, but you know, this is it. You gotta tough it out till the end. And he's bailing early, and I think that's kind of lame. Assuming that there's nothing else. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got room for you here on the phone lines. What you just heard was a highlight from Malik Nabers from last night in Thursday Night Football. Nabers did leave the game with a concussion. CeeDee Lamb with a touchdown, an anytime touchdown that the entire world cashed, which I thought was nice. It's nice. It's like when there's like when everybody gets the answer right at trivia and you do a big social drink, like that's sort of what it felt like.
You and
when,
Catholic's aunt just high-five in front of everyone.
A social, you know, everybody got that one right. Everybody have a little drink there. Me and Catholic's on high-fiving because we all got the answer right. That's sort of what that seemed like last night. But it did instill the fact that even with a quarterback and an offensive line that's substandard this year, even with all of those things, it can help you. It can help an offense to have a playmaker out there, a guy who can get open, a guy who can make a contested catch, a guy who can make somebody miss, a guy who can take it to the house. And the Patriots, I mean, I'm sorry, like they're trying to get Douglas more involved. I'm sure they're going to try and get some other guys more involved again this week too against the tough 49ers defense. But that's what it takes, and they don't seem to have that right now.
So we should also just point out, for sort of the objective purposes, Malik Nabers was a guy that, you know, he was seen as a really elite prospect by some, right?
Yeah,
like he was. Marvin Harrison was sort of on his own island up top, and then it was like, who's the second receiver? And there were people that just gushed about Malik Nabers. There were some people that thought Malik Nabers was better than Marvin Harrison overall.
There were a lot explosive. Of people like that, yeah.
So you are talking about a true blue chip, top 5 to 10 wide receiver, probably in any draft kind of thing. But you're also right. He's changed that passing game. He's given Danny Dimes the potential to make some plays, right? Like, he's injected a little life into Brian Daboll's offense again. And, you know, I joke about it, but when you have those abilities, I don't think it's an accident that the other team's corner fell down. They're freaking out. Like, they are in that. It's the Ty Law thing he always talks about on the Greg Hill show. Like, as a defensive player, there are guys you fear. Like, what can they do? They can make me, like Tyreek Hill. You know, those types of guys that can embarrass you. And I think Nabers is showing early in his career he can be one of those guys. And so that creates anxiety and stress, and bad things happen to the defense. It also opens things up for other members of the offense. And the reality is, been a long, long time since we saw one of those in a Patriots uniform and doing anything like that on a football field here in New England.
It really is. You know, it's Julian Edelman, obviously, was a great number one. He was a slot receiver, but he turned himself into a number one receiver, and he was their main guy for a while. But, I mean, before that, you had you had that 1 year of Brandon Lloyd. He had 1,000 yards. You had the Welker and Moss years where they didn't win anything, but, you know, you did have good wide receiver play. And then after that, it was a lot of, you know, Brandon LaFell and, you know, Chad Ochocinco, you know, just sort of went on and on and on like that for a while, with Edelman being the main guy, and Gronkowski obviously too, but a wide receiver, you know, it never quite built up that stable that you wanted, and you never did it through the draft. I mean, through the draft, and we've gone over this, but the wide receiver drafts for the Patriots have been brutal, and not just in who they picked, but who they didn't pick, and who they could have had, and who they decided, you know, this is my guy, and I'm sticking with N'Keal Harry, and here come all these other guys off the board later on in that draft that all ended up being pro bowlers or all pros in some cases. And you look at some of these other drafts recently, it's really been a great few years for wide receiver drafts. You know, this year already looks like a good one. Last year looks like it was a good one for sure, with Smith and Jigba and Flowers and Rice and Tank Dell and, you know, the Romeo Puka Nacua and, you know, some of those other guys. The year before, you had Garrett Wilson and Olave and George Pickens and Romeo Doubs and Khalil Shakir. Like, all these guys, not all in the first round, some spread out through the other. Nacua was a fifth round pick. Shakir was a fifth round pick. Romeo Doubs was a fourth round pick. And these guys aren't all game breakers or anything, but they've all proven already to be better than what you have. And the ones who are game breakers are elite wide receivers, playmakers, who have helped transform or in some cases add some rebar to an already good wide receiving group or a good offense. The Vikings didn't need Addison Reed. They already had a really good pass catching situation there. They draft him, and all of a sudden that's an elite unit. You know, like that's what happens. And he's their second guy to Jefferson, who's another one they drafted recently. And it's like, all of these things, they've been emphasized and really prioritized by other teams around the NFL. And the Patriots, even now, when, you know, they're going out there and really trying to put an offense together like they did in this last draft, all their picks were offensive players except one, and they still didn't quite come out of it with that elite, you know, with anybody that you look at and think, man, this guy could be a real game breaker. And Baker was sort of that reach. Polk was the guy that they targeted with their earlier pick. He looks like he could be a good possession receiver, but even he's not he wasn't even the best guy on his own team, you know? Like, he was number two behind Adunze, and that's sort of what I'm talking about. Like, they've never really prioritized that main guy. The closest they ever came was N'Keal Harry, and N'Keal Harry was one of the biggest busts in the history of the Patriots.
And I also think, for me anyway, one of the issues is, okay, so maybe there's no shame in not finding the superstar number one, but you haven't even really found guys that you know exactly what they are or like what they do and like fill that void on an offense. Okay, you're not a true number one, but I know you're going to go out there and give me this. You're either a true deep threat that I know, Tyquan Thornton, you're a true deep threat that I know once every two games or to three games, you're going to hit a bomb. You're going to break the bat. Like, you're not going to do it all the time. You're not going to catch seven for 140 and be some all-pro receiver, but you're going to be that deep threat. Even to some degree, DeMario Douglas, this expectation that he's going to be a slot guy. He's going to be a volume guy in the offense. We'll see. Maybe they jump-started him, and maybe it trends in that direction. But you mentioned, like, somewhat dismissively, Brandon LaFell. You know, he was the drive starter around here. He was barely 1,000. But that's what he did. Like, he was going to run a 12-yard out and start a drive with a first down. So now we were at the 25. Now we're at the 37. We're moving. Now, don't keep coming to me because they're probably going to cover. Like, I did my part for a little while. Go somewhere else and come back to me later kind of guy.
And that was about the max that he could give you. And he gave it to him. I mean, listen, it was a better offense back then, obviously. Yeah, but that was, you know, that's sort of the caliber of wide receiver that they were going out and targeting. Someone who could do, you know, a very specific job and do something like that.
I'd take the hell out of that right now. And that's my point. So we dream about getting Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Malik Nabers, CeeDee Lamb. That's the dream. And you probably need to do that at some point if you're going to return to sort of the heights of the NFL. But maybe first they just need to get the guy that you know what he does, and he actually does it on a semi-regular basis, whether that's Douglas or Polk or Baker. Baker doesn't feel like a guy that's going to do anything consistently to me, but you know, maybe
maybe one thing he'll do consistently, which is be a jackass. But
there seems to be some trending in that direction. But and it's funny because not all the guys you mentioned, like Shakir, who I like more than I probably should. I think he's evolving into a guy that Josh Allen really likes and really trusts. But like his thing is, I think it's 27 straight targets he's caught. Okay, give me a guy like that I just know what the... that was what's-his-name, who they traded Brissett for that they got from the...
Dorsett
was a guy that caught every ball you threw to him. Like, he's not always going to be open, and you're not going to go to him a lot, but if you throw to him, he's going to catch it. Like, they don't even have those guys right now. I think the closest thing to those guys is you're waiting for Kendrick Bourne to come back and join the offense and maybe just be a reliable veteran, but... The bigger picture is, seems like everybody else has got a number one, probably a number two, that are much better than anything you have. And that is, that's frustrating, especially for Rich Keefe, the wide receiver lover who's on our
side. I like wide receivers too, maybe not as much as Keefe does, but you got a bunch of threes and fours and maybe even fives and guys who shouldn't be, you know, on a roster, like guys who wouldn't make any other roster maybe in the NFL. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. By the way, I'm coming to you live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Freedom of Choice Shop. Deals built for you on the New England Edition F-150, official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Quick break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the upcoming slate of games here this weekend and Monday night as well. I think we have another doubleheader coming up this weekend, this Monday, I should say. So we'll get to all of those games. We'll make our picks. But first, here's Brian Frazoco to tell you what's trending.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
There's Gerard Mayo today. I want to be very transparent. Not making any excuses. I just want to be transparent. We didn't have enough time to practice last week. Not an excuse, just saying. You know, I'm being transparent.
No excuse. That's just why we got our asses kicked.
As I give you all an excuse of why we could only manage 3 points and why Aaron Rodgers tore us up. By the way, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, who only had a couple days to prepare as well. And the same amount of practice time as you. But again, I mean, listen, it's going to be a lot of that this season. I think Patriots fans should get ready for those types of questions and answers from Gerard Mayo after some of these games. Although I'll say this, I think they have a path to victory this week, or at the very least, a path to covering 10.5. I think that's very, very possible. And I know those are two different things, but I think that especially after watching that Giants game last night, and I know that was a division game, Andy, and I understand division games are weird, but that was, there's a big talent discrepancy between those two teams, just like there is between these two teams coming up here, and the Niners are reeling a little bit. The Niners haven't looked like themselves. They're all banged up. They got a bunch of really important guys who are just out or not playing, or maybe they will play, but not at 100%, and I think they are vulnerable, just like Matt Maiocco said. I think that there is some vulnerability there, but the question is, who's going to be the more desperate team, right? Isn't that really what we're wondering about here? These are 2-1-2 teams. The Niners are obviously more desperate not to start the season 1-3. There's expectations for them. People care about whether or not they make the playoffs or not. No one's expecting that for the Patriots. Patriots want to be 2-2, but they don't need to be like the Niners need to be. And I think that's probably going to play out in some way or another. And not necessarily in a bad way for the Patriots. I know we've talked about this as though the Niners can't afford to lose this game. Well, sometimes when you can't afford to lose a game, you play tight. You know, you come out there, you're tight, you're missing guys, you're missing blocks, you're missing tackles. Brock Purdy's not hitting his targets. Like, all of those things could happen. I mean, this isn't always – it's not – just because they're desperate doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win. Like, it just means that they need to win more than the Patriots do. We'll see if they can actually rise to that occasion or not, because I'm not 100% convinced that they don't get in their own head about this. That's something that certainly could happen this weekend.
Well, the heads of both of these teams are clearly potentially an issue, good or bad, how they handle some adversity and energy and different things. I will say Gerard Mayo, I thought, had a very relaxed press conference today. It was almost old school Belichick Friday, where it was sort of not really game related. It was kind of off the beaten path. They started talking about halftime speeches. They started talking about Joe Mazzulla. They started talking about, you know, spacing in all of sports. And he was kind of going off on all these tangents, and he seemed very relaxed. And, you know, maybe that's a good sign. Maybe he did love what he's seen this week from his team, and maybe that's some sort of indication of how he feels like his team's going to play. I don't know. Read too much into it. And I'll also read too much into something I just saw during the break on social media.
Yes, I saw this as well. You just texted me this, and I saw it too. Is this what I think it is?
It appears that a contract did not necessarily mend the fences between Brandon Ayuk and his coach, Kyle Shanahan, because reading from afar, and I admit that's always a dangerous game to play when it's just a video on social media, but it appears that they have a little bit of a pissing contest about the shorts that Ayuk is wearing that appear to be the wrong color. He's supposed to have black shorts on today, and he's got red shorts on, and there's hand gesturing, there's back and forth. Then he takes his shoes off, pulls the shorts off, tries to kick them off into the distance, throws his hands into the air while putting on black shorts. Meaning, you know, Kyle Shanahan kind of storms off. So, you know, my predictions that, he's just, you know, hitting his stride after the drama of the offseason. No, he may be hitting his stride of the drama, because now he's their problem. Now it's signed, sealed, and delivered. So this is the kind of thing you don't usually see when the guy gets the big money. This comes before he gets the big money. Like when Josh McDaniels was dealing with Brandon Marshall in Denver and he was punting footballs in the middle of practice. That's kind of normal when you're in a contract dispute. Not really normal after you get the contract. So If I'm a 49ers fan and I'm looking at that video of what's supposed to be right now my top healthy receiver and my head coach kind of going at it on, I think it's from today, on the practice field before, as you said, is kind of a sneaky big game, like a really sneaky big game. I wouldn't want to see that. So my bet from earlier that Ayuk anytime touchdown or Ayuk over, I take those back. I'm glad I didn't actually place those yet because I'd feel less good about it right now after seeing that video.
Yeah, I'm watching the video now. They do have a conversation. We don't know what was said. We can see that they're gesturing
you
towards
suck.
Each other.
No,
I wouldn't say it was particularly... I mean, it wasn't crazy. They weren't gesticulating wildly or anything. Like, they were, you know, sort of talking back and forth. And then at the end of it, Ayuk takes his shorts off and puts on the other shorts.
Right.
He, like, takes off his shoes, drops his pants, and puts on the other pair of shorts sort of, you know, reluctantly, like, okay, here we go. But I don't know. I'd love to know what that conversation was like. And I also think that is not the behavior in any way from the coach or from the player of a team that's playing nice and loose and not, you know, going to come out there and be tight because they're worried about going 1-3. I think it's the exact opposite. I think that's in their head for sure. And that may be manifesting itself right there in that clip. All right. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Without any further ado, let's take a look at the slate of games coming up this weekend. Brian Frazoco's got the lines and we're going to go ahead and give you some picks. What do we got here this week, Brian?
All right, so week four of the NFL season kicked off last night. The Cowboys obviously got the win over the Giants. We will go to Sunday's action, where week four will continue with the Eagles, shorthanded Eagles. Arkin, I think you said during the break, Devontae Smith's already ruled out for Sunday. So no Devontae Smith, possibly no A.J. Brown for the Eagles. They will travel to Tampa Bay to face the 2-1 Bucs.
All right, I'll take this one first because there's a ton of sharp money on the Tampa Bay Bucs here. This was before the Smith news came out, although I think anybody who saw that hit, that awful hit by that guy on the Saints on a play that should have been blown dead before he was even in a position to make the hit, which was a big failure on the part of those refs, but also a very dirty hit by whatever that guy, the Saints DT who hit the guy, who hit Smith, who's like the smallest guy in the league, and knocked him out. And I don't know. There was someone said in the video that he like spit on him when he was down or something. I didn't see that, but it all looked really ugly. If AJ Brown's not playing and Smith's not playing, I'm sorry. I think the Eagles are porked, and I'd like Tampa there at +1.5. Are we doing point spreads here? And is it still 1.5 after that announcement came out? I'm not sure.
So I still have it at 1.5 here. If you guys want to do spreads, let's do spreads.
All right, yeah, let's do spreads. I like Tampa +1.5 a lot. And I think that's going to be one of my stronger picks this week. We'll see if it actually plays out or not. But that's one of the ones I feel better about right now.
So this seems like an obvious tough spot for an Eagles team that's not really playing all that well. So it seems like an obvious spot for me to take the Eagles and Offensive Player of the Year candidate Saquon Barkley to be the centerpiece of an offensive effort that gets the job done. So I will lay the points. Give me Philly.
All right, we got a divisional battle between maybe the surprise team of the year so far, 3-0, Minnesota Vikings, with possibly the MVP leader right now in Sam Darnold, if you can believe it. They travel to Green Bay to face the possibly Jordan Love-less Packers.
Andy, you take this one first.
What's the number? Do we have the number?
2.5. Green Bay, 2.5, I want to say.
It's Green Bay -3.
-3. All right, it's moved
Green
a little bit.
Green Bay -3. Okay, so I don't really believe in Sam Darnold. I don't really believe that. You know what? This is a tough one because I don't like the idea that no Love, Malik Willis, they've done a good job over. Give me the Vikings, and I'm going to base it solely on Brian Flores. I think he is the most – Brian Flores and Justin Jefferson are the most surefire things in this game. So give me the Vikings defense. Jefferson makes plays, and the Vikings win.
I think the Vikings are the better team. They're obviously in better shape, and I think all of that's true. But for some reason, I've just been leaning towards Green Bay this entire time. They keep surprising people. I feel like they'd be the surprise win team here at this point. Like, I'm shocked that they're favorites. And the fact that they are has me sort of questioning what I think about these teams. It's also a division game, like Brian said. Those games are always weird. But I think Green Bay could come out of this with a field goal win. So I'm going to go ahead and take Green Bay -3 on that one.
Yeah, the banged up Rams travel to Chicago. Chicago is currently listed as -3, so they're favorites at home. That game is a 1 o'clock start, so West Coast team traveling, not exactly East Coast, but Central Time.
I think traveling I like the Rams east. Here. It's the Rams +3.
They're traveling
three,
towards
right?
the east, exactly.
Yes.
Yes, they're heading west to east. And they are 3-point underdogs. Is that what you said?
Yes.
3-point underdogs, correct.
At 3 points, I'm going to go ahead and take the Rams there. I think that the Bears have been winning some ugly games, and even the games that they've lost have been pretty ugly looking. I expect a bit of a rock fight. I don't think either one of these teams is going to run away with it, but I think it's probably going to be like a 1 or 2 point win either way, and I think the Rams can hang around. So give me L.A. plus 3 on the road.
Dumb question to ask in week 4. Are we keeping track of the standings and who's winning?
I'm not sure. I haven't been keeping track of them at all. And we've had
I don't think we did this
day,
segment
so
last week also.
I'm not even, yeah, we may not have even done it last
I think
week.
We only did it for point. Week 1.
We can start. We can start right now. We'll start. This will be our
okay. Starts fresh.
It's our new survivor pool.
Yeah. That's what it is. So give me the Chicago Bears because Rams coming off a big comeback win in a weird division game. They're still banged up. They're still undergunned. They are indeed traveling east on the road against Chicago. I don't love my bet, but give me the Bears and I'll lay the points.
All right, the Jets coming off a mini bye after their drubbing of the Patriots. They host Denver. They are favorited by 8.
Okay, this one is, I think, one of those kind of picks where I also wonder, what do they know? Denver coming off a big win. The Jets coming off a big win. The Jets have had a long time to prepare for Bo Nix and the Broncos. I saw it at 7.5. It's now gone up to 8. That tells me a lot of money's been coming in on New York, and I kind of agree with that. I think I'm going with the Jets here. Multi-score win.
Yeah, I am going to take the veteran quarterback that I think is picking up steam with his team. I think it's the better all-around team. It's a slightly larger number than I'd really like to lay, but I'll do it. Maybe you get a cheap score late because it's a rookie quarterback kind of trying to come back. So I'll lay the 8 and give me the Jets.
Another divisional game. Saints travel to Atlanta. Atlanta's favored in this game despite being 1-2 and the Saints being 2-1. Atlanta's favored by 3. That's also a 1 o'clock kickoff.
I wonder if the Magic Pixie Dust has come off the Saints with that loss to the Eagles this past week in an ugly, ugly game. I think Atlanta is a team that's going to get better as the season goes on. I guess I'm going to pick them here. I'll take Atlanta minus 3. I like them to win the game, and I feel like when you're not totally sure, just go with the winners. So I'm going to take Atlanta minus 3.
Yeah, I will take Atlanta. I'll lay the points. Bijan Robinson needs to get going. I think Kirk Cousins needs to be more consistent. I think they're the more talented team. I think at home they should win this game, so I'll pick them.
Talked about the game all day, except I don't think we've picked it yet. Patriots at Niners. Niners are 10.5-point favorites at home.
I will lay those points. I'm going to take the San Francisco 49ers. I do not believe the New England Patriots get in the end zone in this game. I think you might get a couple return home, sly guy, field goals, something like that. I think the 49ers are the better team, the better coach team. They're getting slightly healthier, which helps their chances. I think this is went from being a trap game to a season-saving game. There's just a lot going on in San Francisco. I just think you get a left tackle that I don't trust against that pass rush. 27-9 is what I went with on the Six Rings podcast preview. So I will stick with 27-9, although in the days since I recorded that, I might even bump it up into the 30s.
Really? Even though Brandon Ayuk may or may not have soiled his shorts and had to change them at practice today.
Or maybe they make up and he's out to prove a point and they feed him the football. Remember, Pop Douglas whined and he wasn't happy and they fed him the football. If they feed Brandon Ayuk the football, maybe he'll be happy and score 2 touchdowns.
That's true. But despite all of that, I'm taking the Patriots to cover the 10.5. I think that's
Sucka.
A huge, huge line. I don't know. Maybe I'm just feeling like they have had all this time off, time to get ready and time to sort of lick their wounds after an ugly, ugly loss. The Niners, I think, are going to be playing tight. I think that's going to be much more important to them not to fall to 1-3, and that's going to get in their head. So maybe they win the game. I think they probably will. I'm not picking a Patriots win here, not being that bold. But I do think they can cover a two-score spread like this. So give me the Patriots plus 10.5.
If there's one thing the new Jones and Keefe show has taught me, it's that home dogs bark the loudest. Chargers plus 7 at home against Kansas City.
Ooh, you know what? I like the Chargers. I like the Chargers a lot. I think the Chargers is a home dog at plus 7. I mean, listen, they're not any great shakes here, but I think that with the Chiefs playing the way they are, they're not blowing anybody out this year. I don't think this is going to be more than a one-score game, so I'm taking the Chargers plus 7, and I'd be happy with a push there, but I think they can cover that 7 for sure.
This is a fun coaching matchup between Andy Reid and Jim Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's, you know, wondering what the Chiefs are. What are they doing? Mahomes, Kelsey, is Kelsey done? all these various things. As Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend. The Chiefs go out and they get the win. They stay undefeated. They beat the division foe. They re-establish themselves as clearly the team to beat in the division, in the conference. And we're talking about Patrick Mahomes just starting to pick up a little steam.
Sunday Night Football, the undefeated Bills go to the maybe disappointing so far Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are favorited. They're 2.5-point favorites at home on Sunday Night Football.
I've been betting the Bills basically every week, and it's the only consistent bet that I've been winning. So give me Buffalo plus 2.5. Give me Buffalo until they give me a reason not to pick them. They have been so good have covered. I think they're 3-0 so far against the spread. Baltimore's been shaky. I know they're at home, but I just think Buffalo's a wagon right now, and I'm not going to pick against them until they give me a reason to.
So I think there is still need for some desperation to be felt in Baltimore right now. And I think the Bills are flying a little too high. And I'm always curious as how good they are at dealing with success. Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, and company. So give me the Baltimore Ravens. I think there's a little bit of need to turn things around for Lamar and Harbaugh and company. What was the number?
The number was 2.5.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Give me the Ravens.
All right. And then wrapping up the weekend, I just scrolled too far past it. There we go. The second of the Monday night doubleheader, because we don't really care about Titans Dolphins. The second game of the doubleheader is the fourth best team in the NFL, according to Tom Brady. Seattle Seahawks travel to Detroit to take on the Lions. Lions are 3.5-point favorites.
It's in Detroit, and I think that Seattle's magical run takes, I don't know if it ends here, but I think this is probably when they lose their first game. I think Detroit is going to be able to handle them at home in prime time. I know Seattle's been off to a good start, and I really like how they look so far, but I think that this is a game Detroit's going to, is sort of a welcome to the NFL kind of moment, I think, for that head coach.
Yeah, give me the Lions. I think they're the better all-around team. They're at home, as Brian likes to say. You know, Seattle having to fly east. You never know what that does to somebody halfway across the country. So, give me. I hate doing it because I hate putting any stock in this guy, Jared Goff. But I think Jared Goff versus Geno Smith, the Lions versus Seattle. Like, the Lions are the more established good team at home, so take them.
All right, there you go. Those are our picks for the week. We didn't pick every single game, but we picked the important ones. There you are. By the way, Rob Bradshaw with a big scoop on Twitter just moments ago. Did you see this?
I did not. Do tell.
Rob Bradford, per source, to this point, Fenway Sports Group has shown no interest and has made no contact regarding a potential purchase of the Boston Celtics.
Uh-oh, another scoop off.
Yeah. Coco didn't do so great in the last scoop off. We'll see how this one goes. But, I mean, listen, this could be posturing. This could be bowed out of the Ray. They were in it, and now they've bowed out of it, and they don't want to make it seem like they got outbid, or that they're, you know, a bunch of broke bitches out there and can't be in the bidding. So that could be part of it, or maybe just Courtney got some bad information. Again, that could be possible as well. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, it's This Week in Social Media. We'll get you caught up on everything that happened on Twitter, on Facebook, on Snapchat, etc. That's all coming up next. All right, we got a couple of minutes left here before we have to hand things over to Joe Weil in the MassMutual pregame show. Red Sox playing out the string here at Fenway on the last three games, Joe Castiglione, which is unfortunate. But right now it is time for the segment you've all been waiting for here. We do it every Friday at 5:45. I'm talking, of course, about Twism, hashtag Twism, a.k.a. This Week in Social Media. Do we not have imaging for this week in social media?
Week in social media with Arcand and Hard on WEEI.
The pauses everywhere.
I knew it was in there somewhere. But that was Brian's Tommy Kern impression, I guess. Anyway, there was one big story in social media this week, and it wasn't directly about sports because it wasn't a sports person that put the thing out there, though he was at a sporting event, I guess. And I'm talking, of course, about Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx, the great actor, singer-songwriter, who had a big health scare. Didn't Jamie Foxx, like, almost die or something this past year? And, like, no one saw him for, like, a year, and then he just popped back up on the scene. Like, everything was fine, no big deal. Something weird happened there. I'm not sure exactly what. There was a rumor the Scientologist tried to disappear him because he started dating Katie Holmes, but I don't know if that's true. Oh. It's just a very reckless rumor.
Maybe it's Diddy related. You tie everything.
Could be Diddy related. Although he's back out on the scene now, you know, hanging out with Jerry Jones. Which, you know, if you're trying to distance yourself from debauchery, maybe that's not the best guy to do that.
That might be the worst choice to make, but that's
okay. Sometime in the, we're not exactly sure when this happened, But there is a video of Jamie Foxx hanging out with Jerry Jones, and they're sitting up in the they're sitting up on a perch somewhere watching some 11-on-11 action when Jones starts listing off the measurables of a player who had been doing well during the workout. They were out there, was watching practice or camp or something and workouts, and here's Jerry Jones. While I don't think he realizes that Jamie Foxx is live streaming, but Foxx is live streaming on Instagram, and Jerry Jones said this.
I'm 2-2.
4-4-1. Okay. 9 3-inch head. 8.5-inch.
I love how Jamie Foxx just goes, mm-hmm.
Jamie Foxx goes, mm-hmm, and then quickly cuts off the live stream, like, immediately. If you couldn't understand what he was saying there, Jerry Jones said, he's talking about some player. He goes, 5'9.5", 210 pounds, 4'41", 40, 9 3-inch hands, 8.5-inch.
9 3-inch hands. 8.5-inch.
Now...
You all right over there?
First of all, it's just funny. He's up there in the crowd. Imagine Kraft doing that. It's just funny to think about.
I can imagine myself doing it. Could you? I absolutely could say something like that. Like just listing off.
But how would you know that? That's the whole thing.
Well, maybe you didn't know.
I think he
was just making a joke. He talked about 9 3-inch hands and then thought, oh, what's something else that's about that?
You know what they say about a guy with big hands? Like it's
right.
Like
yeah,
the
exactly.
Next evolution of the joke. And he's just hanging out and he's being a dink. But we're all dinks sometimes and say really stupid things that don't need to be said. They certainly don't need to be broadcast live on social media. I actually, because people are like, he knows everything, or he's this, and all. I think it was just a stupid, harmless joke coming off the hand measurement, rolling into a different measurement.
I took a look at Baines in the shower.
That's much worse, in my opinion.
All of Australia. That certainly was. I mean, he didn't say the D word, but yeah.
He looks like all of Australia.
Oh, yeah. By the way, this happened like years ago, I guess. This video is from a while ago.
Okay.
It is from several years ago, and Jerry Jones says he doesn't remember saying that at all. He was asked about it. TMZ asked him about it. He was asked about it on a Odyssey station, 105.3 The Fan. Shannon RJ asked Jerry Jones about it. He said him and Jamie Foxx have a great relationship. It spanned decades. They've watched many practices and games together. But I do not recall making that statement.
He is really put together.
It's a good answer, too. I do not recall, Senator.
Yeah, right.
I do not recall, Senator.
Can you describe the tone and tenor of
Was that a better excuse
words?
Than Patrick Pass saying, well, I wouldn't shove over an old man? Like,
right.
What's a better excuse than that from Patrick Pass or Jerry Jones?
Man.
Oh, we've had a great relationship. I don't remember saying that.
Both guys got captured on camera is the problem.
He probably should have not assumed. Like, I would be assuming my guy Jamie Foxx, we hang out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he live streaming? What are we doing? Like, we're just being bored.
Right.
Like, this is what we do. We screw around. We make jokes about whatever on the football field. I don't want to be live on social media. Whereas Patrick Pass, if you're in a gym, I assume there's cameras watching me unless I'm in the locker room.
I took a look at Baines in the shower.
Who says that?
Yes, he did. Tommy. Hey, Tommy does whatever. Tommy walks around. He's looking in the shower. He's doing whatever he wants. Rest in peace to Tommy. He had carte blanche. He could do
legend.
Anything.
Legend.
Yeah.
But
legend
that's starting that sentence on live television. I took a look at him in the shower. Like, nothing in your head said stop sentence, stop sentence,
nope.
Stop sentence.
And Mike.
He looks like all of Australia.
And Mike Gorman's just laughing, like, what is he thinking? Like,
I mean, it's pretty funny. It's an all-around funny thing. That is some in-depth scouting, by the way. People say that Jerry Jones doesn't, he's lost a step. He does not, he's not up on what the team's doing anymore. Like, nah, au contraire, mon frère. That is a guy who knows everything about all his players right there.
Absolutely.
He knows everything about him. He knows what's going
Best
on.
Best GM in football.
I would say, can Robert Kraft rattle off the penis sizes of all his players? Don't think so. Don't think he can. You just point a guy out, Jerry Jones will tell you how hung he is. That's the Dallas Cowboy difference, I think, that you don't get just anywhere in the NFL. Anyway, that's this week in social media. Not a whole lot. I was looking around. There's not a lot happened
Slow
this week,
week
in social media, except for that. And this didn't even happen this week in social media. It happened like a couple years ago, but it blew up again and got repurposed this week. I just randomly going viral. That's the thing now. Stuff that's really old just pops back. back up on Twitter now, and people are like, look at this video that's from 5 years ago, and that's like all the video, you know? Like, that's really it, and people are seeing it for the first time, or they've never seen it before, they don't know, and it becomes this repurposed, repackaged, re-viral video, which I think kind of sucks. For many reasons, I think Twitter sucks now, but that's another thing. It's just all old videos now. You never see anything new anymore.
I blame the kids because it's new to them. You know, you get this whole new generation of, although they're not really on Twitter, so you can't really blame the kids.
It's true.
Twitter is for old people like you and I.
Yeah, they're all on TikTok. That's it. And eventually it's going to be lame to be on TikTok, and I'm barely even there. My one TikTok? I posted one TikTok. Uh-oh. And it's of the clip from the Amazon Open. That's the only TikTok I have. It's been viewed 700 times, which I think is very poor for a TikTok.
Certainly hasn't gone viral.
Definitely hasn't gone viral. And you can check like the analytics, and it's like most people who watch this stopped after 1 second. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That makes me feel good. They didn't even get to see me. It was just like Foxborough for a second. They didn't even get to the part where I'm
in,
but whatever. They
lost interest very quickly.
That's what it is. I mean, listen, TikTok is all about the short attention span. That's really what it's all about. And I'm going to have to figure it out if I want to be a TikTok presence, which I'm not even sure I want to at this point. I figure I might as well try. It's where all the people are, Andy. That's where everyone is. They're not on Twitter anymore. 80% of Twitter traffic's like gone ever since Musk there took it over. It's like they've 80%? Lost $40 billion and 80% of traffic is down, which I don't know if that means people all jumped off, but it's all bots now. It's all there's more bots than ever. It's all bots now. Twitter blows.
Sure
anyway.
It is. I'm still looking around. Liberal Arcand.
Hates fighting. Twitter. By the way, I still call it Twitter. No one calls it X. Have you ever heard of a worse rollout than the rollout from Twitter to X, which no one is abiding by, no one is acknowledging? That makes them look weak, I think.
That's hurtful, Brian. Brian just said something in my ear, and I am not going to repeat it on the air because it was hurtful to host one and host two, and we're not going there late on a Friday.
What, we're old? I know we're old. You don't have to make that a joke. That's
no,
obvious.
He offered up a worst rollout.
You said, what was the worst rollout? And I said, WEI Afternoon Show?
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what? It's not. That's
See,
also
hurtful.
True.
It's hurtful.
It's not really.
Self-deprecating, though, I guess.
The truth can't be mean, Andy. Remember
that is
you're the one who said that.
The truth is never mean. Absolutely, you're right, Brian. You nailed it. Way to finish strong, buddy.
Hurt my pride a little bit, but not mean because the truth can't be mean. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Andy Hart, we'll talk to you next week. Actually, we'll talk to you on Sunday, NFL football Sunday. We will talk to you like we always do, right around 12:30 ish. Although, sure. I think we have a full show on Sunday. I don't think we're getting cut off by the Red Sox again. So, we may talk to you right at the end there. In the meantime, it is going to be me and Joe Weil. We'll talk some Red Sox with you before the game, and then we'll hand things over to the Mass Mutual pregame show. Red Sox playing out the string here tonight at Fenway Park. That's all coming up next.
To the right, the pitch. Swinging a line drive, left field. Benintendi coming on, dives, and did he make the catch? He did! He got it!
The Red Sox win.
I just went head over heels in my chair.
Joe just fell down.
Oh, wow. What a catch by Andrew Benintendi. Unbelievable. What a play. And the Red Sox lead the series 3-1.
You've all been there, Joe. You jump up out of your seat. You're excited about something. You go to sit back down. And it's like about 2/3 of the way through the sitting motion where you realize, oh, no. Oh, God. Sometimes that happens on, like, the toilet, too, right? When the seat's not down. And you're like, wait a minute, I should have made contact with something by now. Oh, no. Oh, God. Then all of a sudden your ass is wet. You know, like, it's basically what happens. And I think that's what happened there with Joe. I mean, he jumped up because it was a great catch by Benintendi. I remember the play. And on the way down, I think he gambled on the seat being there. And as you could hear clearly in that great, one of the all-time, I think, best Joe Castiglione clips, just because a guy as professional and steady as him doesn't have that many, like, human moments, you know, where he's just like, you forget that he's the best play-by-play guy in the world in this, you know, this institution. And you remember, oh, yeah, he's a guy, you know, like.
Oh, it's just, wow, what a catch.
Funk, you know, it's just very rare that you see that. Anyway, Christian Arcand here, a little bonus baseball with Joe Weil. Joe, they're playing out the string, obviously. This weekend, I think, is more about Joe Castiglione maybe than it is about the team.
Yeah, I really do think it is. And I think Red Sox fans are going to cherish these last couple games and try to get to the radio so that they can listen to Joe and Will. And it's going to be emotional for all of us that I get a chance to work with Joe, who's such a great guy. And I think what I love about working with him is that he is very human. And you take a moment like that where it's a great call. He literally is at the edge of his seat, as everybody was in that moment when Bregman hit that ball to left and Benintendi made the amazing play. But people have just lived and breathed Red Sox baseball through his voice for 42 years. That's a long time. And you know, I think it's being a play-by-play guy, there's such a responsibility with it too.
Right.
And on top of that, you just grow to become so fond of that person that is telling you what's going on with the Red Sox year in, year out, because he's the guy that we listen to during the summertime and turn the radio on and listen to baseball. And I think baseball, I'm biased, but I think it's the sport that is the most conducive for radio. And Joe's done it so great for so many years. So it really is. I think this is his weekend because the Red Sox are out of it. I think there's going to be little things, Christian, that we'll watch for during this series. Mm-hmm. But he's really the star of the show in my mind.
Yeah,
I just went head over heels in my chair.
Well, ass over tea kettle over here. Mayor Wu is designating Sunday Joe Castiglione Day in Boston. That is a very nice honor there for him. Real quick, just while we have you, the season is clearly over here. There's nothing really to play for anymore. It seems like between Craig Breslow and Alex Cora, there's an optimistic tone being struck that you didn't necessarily get last year. Is that something you're buying into?
Partly. I'm partly buying into it because I do think this year, more than last year, the team was driven by the young players. We talk about the rotation with the three homegrown guys that really posted, you know, the entire season, and that's something to be proud of. And then the position players who kept the ship afloat for a long time, and especially after you talk about the beginning of the year, Lucas Giolito gets hurt, Trevor mm-hmm. Story gets hurt on that first road trip, Tristan Casas gets hurt so early into the campaign, and those guys lifted this group to the point where our expectations rose. And I think that's what's so disappointing about where this season has ultimately landed, is that, you know, our expectations, they rose because of how well they played, and I believed it. I mean, I was on with you and Andy talking about the offense, and I'll take
jinxing that every single time, by the way.
I will take full blame for that.
We haven't fully investigated Joe Weil's participation in the downfall of the team this year, but I think it's significant, and it's something that we will have to look at. All the advanced analytics, throw that out the window. The Joe Weil effect.
That was it. No, that was it. But I think there are things to like, but I think if you're disappointed, you're very in your right to feel that way. And I think that they're going to have to do a lot in the offseason to get this team to that next level. And I think just what hurts more is that this is 3 years, Christian, of them with this expanded, them being Major League Baseball, with the expanded right. postseason. You know, six teams in each league.
They made it so easy.
And they couldn't sneak in. And as Alex Cora talked about at the end of his comments, just talking about like, hey, all these teams faltered down the stretch and we still couldn't get it done.
Alex Cora said this is the last time you're going to see a struggle like this. I hope he's right. And I hope next season, yeah, right, knock on wood for sure. All right, that's all for us here. This is our last time in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. I'm going to miss it down here. I like doing the shows down here. I like waving to the people and seeing everybody. It's been a fun season as far as that's concerned. But this is it. So enjoy the rest of the weekend. Enjoy Joe Castiglione and enjoy Joe Weil as he takes you to the MassMutual pregame show. Coming your way right now. We'll talk to you on Sunday at 10. Bye.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Quarterback pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.